So you couldn't make it out to the old Groundhog Day last night because you had to be here.
Yeah, I have to work.
Yeah. Well, so do I, but not till later.
Right.
So it turned out great. We had a huge audience. One of the biggest we've ever had. I think it might be right up there with Goodfellas. We had a great turnout, a huge turnout, and we Skyped with Stephen Tobolowsky, and it worked out great. He was fantastic, and had him right up there, his big giant head on the movie screen, sitting at his desk in front of his bookcases in his home, telling us great stories about the making of Memento, and of course, Groundhog Day. He told us great stories about Groundhog Day. And Deadwood was mentioned, and lots of other stories. And he's just such a great guest and such a cool guy. And he spent a good 35 minutes with us. I thought we were going to get maybe 15, 20 minutes. He was with us like over 35 minutes. And people, he answered everybody's questions who had questions in the audience. And I threw some stuff at him, and he told some great stories, some really great stories. And so we did, what we did was he was taping an episode of At Midnight that aired last night. But they tape it in the early evening. So we had to wait till he got home from the taping of At Midnight to test out the Skype to make sure it was going to work. He was going to join us after we screened Groundhog Day. So that would be 10, it was like 10 p.m. our time. So 8 o'clock his time, because he's in L.A., 8 o'clock his time. But in order to test it, we had to wait till he got home at like 5:45-ish, which is 7:45 our time. And Groundhog Day was supposed to start at 8, and we had like well over like 100 or some people just standing right outside the door of the theater waiting to get in as we were testing the Skype situation. And we did the test. The test was fine. He's like, okay, I gave him all the information. I said, I'll probably talk for 10 minutes. The movie will probably end right around 8 p.m. your time, and we will Skype and call you then. And he said, I'll be ready. So we watched the movie. The movie's great. And Dan, when was the last time you've seen Groundhog Day?
In its entirety, it's been a few years.
It's so good, man. I mean, it really is just a terrific movie. Like, really funny and really beautiful. And that all goes back to, you know, and I talked about this at the screening last night. That all goes back to Harold Ramis. That's all Harold Ramis, man. I miss Harold Ramis being around and alive so much. You know, one of my comedy heroes, no question about it, one of the guys responsible for some of the most important pieces of comedy that have influenced me or touched me in any way. A lot of the stuff that he is responsible for or was a major part of is the reason I went to Second City, is the reason I did comedy, is the reason I do theater. All the comedy that really influenced me, and in some way or shape or form, Harold Ramis had his hand in it. And you know, he lived here, and he was an incredibly nice guy and such a remarkably talented filmmaker. And you know, Groundhog Day is one of the sweetest movies he's ever made, and one of the loveliest films he's ever made. It's funny. It's got a nice edge to it. But overall, it's just, I mean, he took a script that, the original script that he got, I told you guys this before, the original script that he got was a very strange script. Danny Rubin wrote it, and it played more like, when he read it, it played more like a David Lynch movie. It was really strange and kind of surreal. So all of that humanity and all of that beauty and everything that people really take emotionally and joyfully from Groundhog Day, that's all Harold Ramis, man. It's all him. And he's got a great cameo in it. It's just a hilarious cameo. You know, I told everybody to keep an eye out for some characters, you know, and some actors that are in it, like Michael Shannon is in it. And Michael Shannon plays, he's got to be 18 in it, 18, 19 years old in it. And he plays a kid who just gets married and is very excited because Bill Murray gives him WrestleMania tickets. And he goes nuts and starts screaming WrestleMania and jumping up and down. So he makes a little cameo in it. There's a bunch of, you know, great stuff in it. And it was just wonderful to see it on the big screen. And the 4K projection that we did, man, it looked better than it did. I remember it than it looked in 1993 when it first came out. It was just gorgeous, man. The projection was gorgeous.
So I know that, we got to get the band in here, but yeah. A caller wanted to know, did you ask about the inaccuracy involving the time in the morning?
You know what? I did not, because I brought up Bing, because one of his catchphrases in the movie is he says, you remember me? Because I sure as heck if I remember you, Ned Ryerson. Bing! So I asked him about Bing, and I was just like it was a throwaway. It was a joke. I was like, hey, Steven. How come, you know, when Bing became a big search engine, why didn't they get you and pay you? And he got real quiet, and he's like, oh, this is really a hard story for me to tell. And I'm like, oh, God, what happened? Evidently, when Microsoft called him, they did call him when Bing was about to be launched. And I'm not kidding. This is a true story. Steven told this earlier, last night. And he said, yeah, Microsoft called me, and they said, we're going to launch this search engine called Bing. And we would love you, because you say Bing all the time in Groundhog Day, we would love you to come down and record Bing, and we'll pay you. And he's like, all right. He didn't think anything of it. And he's like, yeah, we'll pay you. Just for the day's work, we'll give you $500. He's like, all right. So he goes down there, not thinking that this is going to be anything, says Bing a few times into a microphone, gets $500, gets a $500 check. Okay, and he leaves. And then they take his recording of the Bing, and they digitize it and change it. They use it. And he only ever got $500.
Well, let's be honest. Who uses Bing?
Well, but that's a lot of money he went out on. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So he would have made a lot of money. He was like, ah, that's really too bad. But then he went on to tell the story about how the guy who composed the music for Law and Order, he said, much smarter man than me, because the guy who composed the music for Law and Order, every time you hear dung dung, that guy gets a paycheck every time. And it's played like 15 times during one episode of Law and Order. And there are at least 75 episodes of Law and Order being shown simultaneously on televisions across the world. And this guy gets paid for every dung dung. And Steven could have been paid for every bing, but he didn't get paid. He got $500. So, all right, one of the many great stories that Steven Tobolowsky told. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. We'll give you more information about that, and I'll give you a few more details about what happened last night. But we got some live music ready to come in here. We're going to talk music and hear music. The band is called Four Without, and they're playing at the Metro this Saturday. We'll meet them and hear some music.